Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Acts chapter 22. Back in Acts chapter 21, Paul, after his long journey back to Jerusalem, is now in Jerusalem, and he is trying to, at first, appease the Jews to get a chance to witness to them. But when he finally comes into the temple area, they arrest him. And this is what they say about him in verse 28 of chapter 21. "This is the man who teaches to everyone everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he has even brought Greeks or Gentiles into the temple and has defiled this holy place." They don't like the fact that Paul is bringing a change in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that now people should come to faith in him, and now the temple of the Holy Spirit resides in us. And it's hard for Jews who have been following Judaism all this time to now just come to Jesus, but they don't like also the changes that he's making to the law of Moses, and that we're not under the law the way that we would be as a Jew. But the thing that really bothered them is when he brought a Gentile into the temple area, because they considered those not permitted to be in their midst. And that is a pretty kind of a sad thing. And I really do believe the Jewish people lost sight of the calling of God in the days of Jesus and in Paul's day. And what I want to explain that to you before we continue on, because it really comes up in our passage in Acts chapter 22 today. But all the way back in the beginning, when God started a family through Abraham, he said to them there, to Abraham, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse." And by the way, this is what became Israel: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name became Israel. And that's what one of the reasons, longstanding reasons, why we still look after Israel, because even though they're under punishment for the rejection of the Messiah, God still has a plan for them. And anyways, "I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I'll curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Israel was supposed to be a blessing to the nations around them. Now, over time, when Israel took over the promised land, they unfortunately would worship the gods of the lands around them, when God was very displeased with that, because he wanted them to stay pure in worshiping him. But he did want them to be a blessing to the nations. But whenever they were around other nations, they would worship false gods. So they ended up becoming very separate, especially the strict religious Jews would be very separate from anyone who was non-Jewish, because they looked at that as dirty. But they really went too far, because they were supposed to be a blessing to the nations. I want to read to you briefly from Isaiah. Isaiah, you know, who was an Old Testament Jewish prophet, said, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." And he is talking about how the fact that when he says nations, that's just not Israel. Other nations will come to your light. That was Isaiah 60, verse 3. And then also in Isaiah 42, "I will take hold of you," this is verse 6, "I will also take hold of you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you as a covenant to the people." Now, this would be for Israel. But then it says, "As a light to the nations," as a light to the nations. And this is something they really lost sight of. And that is something that, you know, Paul is now taking the gospel of Christianity to Gentiles. And he's starting to show that, you know what, Gentiles can come straight to Jesus, just like a Jew can come straight to Jesus. And that's something that's very offensive. Even they're offended by Christianity, but they're even more offended that Paul is saying that, hey, Gentiles can become part of this new faith. And they don't like it. So that's the backdrop. Now, Paul got arrested in chapter 21, and actually the Romans were there guarding him because it was kind of a riot was forming. But Paul is speaking before the Jews, and while he's arrested and he's in the temple court here in Acts 22, he's going to be allowed to speak to the people. And I think it's really interesting what he speaks, because what he shares is his testimony. And I think that's something valuable for us that should be upon our lips. He doesn't begin here by reasoning with them about how the Old Testament points to Jesus. He begins to say to them, hey, what do you want me to do? This is what happened to me. I was on your side and I was persecuting Christians, but God appeared to me and I saw a bright light, and you know, I won't do the whole thing because we're going to read it now. But he basically says, listen, this is what happened. And as a result of my testimony and what God has done, this is what I'm doing. And he's hoping that that will buy him some credence and allow him to share more. So let's take it in. He's speaking in Hebrew, and that's also going to appease the Jews to really listen. So men, brothers, and fathers, you know, because he considers himself one of them, hear my defense, which I now offer to you. Very tense situation, by the way. And when they heard that he was addressing them in Hebrew language, they became even quieter. So imagine this riot quieting down. Paul's essentially being guarded by soldiers, and he's beginning to speak. And he said, I am a Jew, identifying with them, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but having been brought up in this city, Jerusalem, having been instructed at the feet of Gamaliel according to the strictness of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are all today. Now, Paul had special training even, and he was very zealous. I persecuted this way, the Christian way, to the death, binding and delivering both men and women into prison, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. They know how much I was zealous for Judaism and what I was doing. From there also I received letters to the brothers and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. But it happened that as I was on my way, approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me beheld the light, to be sure, and did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what should I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, and I find that very interesting, that here, you know, Paul's sharing his testimony. If you've been going through the journey of Acts with us, you know his miraculous transformation through Jesus. This is something that happened to Paul while he was persecuting Christians. Jesus came and startled them and spoke to him and began to change him. But I find it interesting that they're listening to this testimony here. And when he says, and what should I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, so he's calling Jesus Lord. And they're not getting upset yet about this, which I find interesting. They have, it seems like, some openness to conversion or even to Jesus, but there's something else that bothers them even more. So rise up and go on into Damascus, and there, this is what Jesus was telling Paul, and there you will be told of all that has been determined for you to do. But since I could not see because of the glory of that light, being led by the hands of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Now a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law, so Ananias was a Jew and well spoken of by the Jews who lived there, came to me. Now, we hear back in Acts chapter 9 that Ananias had been converted to Christianity, but his heritage was Jewish. and his faith background was Jewish prior to coming to Christ. He came to me and standing near said to me, "Brother Saul, regain your sight." And at that very hour, I regained my sight and saw him. And he said, "The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear a voice from his mouth." Now, this is interesting too, because, Ananias is talking about Jesus and that you're going to hear that you heard from him, and they're not raising objection yet, this hushed crowd. "For you will be a witness for him," and that's for Jesus, by the way, "to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Rise up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." This is calling on Jesus' name. And so here's this transformative baptismal experience, and they're still not raising objection. "Now, it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in a temple that I fell into a trance, and I saw him saying to me, 'Hurry and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your witness about me.' And I said, 'Lord,'" he's talking to Jesus now, "'they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another, I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I also was standing by," you might remember this, "and guarding the garments." That I didn't know that that's what he was doing, but here Paul was guarding the garments while Stephen was being martyred. "I was in guarding the garments of those who were slaying him. And he said to me," Paul's recording that Jesus, and it appears looking back, this was through Ananias, that Ananias spoke to Paul about this on Jesus' behalf. "And he said to me, 'Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" So they have not objected all the way up until now to what Paul is saying about his conversion experience and about Jesus. But when he says, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Now listen to what happens. "And they were listening to him up to this statement. And then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he shall not be allowed to live.'" Wow. Because the gospel message was going to Gentiles, and they felt like, they were the true faith, and that people needed to come, even if they were coming to Jesus, they needed to come through Judaism. But Paul was going to the Gentiles directly. And they're like, "He shouldn't even be allowed to live for this." And to me, this is how they really got confused and lost sight of the fact that they were to be a blessing to the nations. And God foretold that the light of God would come to the nations one day. And as they were crying out and throwing off their garments and tossing dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, stating that he should be examined by flogging, so that he might find out the reason why they were shouting against him that way. But when they stretched him out with leather straps, can you imagine that? It looks like he's being pulled maybe in four directions or at least two directions with leather straps. Paul said to the centurion, this would be the Roman centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" And when the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported to him, saying, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman." And the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" And he, Paul, said, "Yes." And the commander answered, "I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money." And Paul said, "I have been born a citizen." Therefore, those who were about to examine him immediately withdrew from him. And the commander also was afraid when he learned that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. So Paul had rights as a Roman citizen, and they were treating him unfairly here, and the Roman centurions had to stop what they were doing because of Paul's rights. Pretty interesting political situation here. Well, I tell you what, this was quite a scene, and it's not over. In our next, let me keep reading. "But on the next day, wishing to know for certain why he had been accused by the Jews, He released him and ordered the chief priests and all the Sanhedrin to come together and brought Paul down and set him before them. And our chapter is going to end there. But Paul is going to go on continuing to be questioned, but now he's going to do it before the Jewish leadership, who don't have the same authority over his life as the Romans were. But the Romans, Paul had rights because he was a Roman citizen. But anyways, what a story, what a testimony. And I think the thing I want us to remember is never lose sight of your testimony. And, you know, really, Paul had his down. He had it down, you know, what God did for him and how he was changed. How has God changed you? And I think it's a good way to appeal to people is, you know, we do want to reason with them. We've talked about that quite a bit and share with people how the Old Testament scriptures point to Jesus. That's important. But I think it's also good to share with people your testimony and how God changed your life. And may we be more prepared and to share, and may we share how God changed us, because sometimes they may not believe the Bible, and that's sad when they don't, and they should. But it's hard for them to deny that God changed your life, and we should be using both things, reasoning from the scriptures and our testimonies, to witness to the people around us. Thank you for Paul's boldness, Lord, and it'll be interesting to pick it up in chapter 23 when he's essentially on trial all over again now through the Jews. God bless you all. Be bold. Keep your faith. Proclaim how God has changed you.